Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of our Magnum Opus podcast. Now, if you've been following our recent activity, we have started to move away a little bit more from our traditional interview type of faculty and staff members, because we've gotten to know a huge number of them. So we want to branch away from that and look a little bit more towards music itself and kind of get to the nitty-gritty. We'll talk about more about the camp in the upcoming weeks as well. So today, let's talk about musical benefits, or let's rephrase that a little bit better, benefits of studying music. Because we've talked loads and loads about the positives and the negatives to being in like chamber music, and then the pros and cons to studying in large ensembles and small ensembles, and we've been super blessed with the people, the professional ensembles and the professional faculty members that we've been able to interview. They have all said amazing things about why they chose chamber music as their professional field. And then we know that there's pros and cons for larger ensembles and solo ensembles. But let's just talk about music as a whole. No matter what you do, no matter how much you put into it, or if it's just a fun hobby. So what exactly does playing music of any kind, this includes third grade recorder or second grade percussion, what kind of benefits does it bring? Let's take a look. Definitely helps with brain growth, helps us develop language skills, our math skills, even our memory, attention, and concentration skills, helps develop coordination. We have a sense of achievement and discipline. It is definitely a fundamental social skill that helps us learn. And then you can think about it too, just developing a joy for music throughout your entire life. So let's take a look and break some of these down. Music obviously has many benefits, but if we take a look at like hardcore studies about what physiologists and what psychologists are realizing that music does for our brains, it is pretty impressive. So there's a couple studies in neuroscience that actually show music can enhance brain function, and not only children, but adults as well. There's a huge, if you didn't know this, there's a huge medical world that is dedicated to music therapy. If you've heard about physical therapy, that is when someone helps somebody who's maybe had a debilitating injury that they can't move an arm, or their leg gets really hurt, so they need to have additional help to develop physical muscles to be able to move their body again. Music therapy is it's a cognitive-based study, which means it's mostly used to impact positively the brain. So music therapy is a lot about using music to improve memory function or improve depression or other cognitive or brain aspects of life and science. So again, those neuroscience studies have shown that brain function in children and in adults is enhanced through music. Music activities as playing the instrument or singing or even just listening to music stimulates the brain. And then the brain workout leads to improved brain structure, formation of new neural connections, which if you don't know, every single action that you do, your brain is firing neurons, these very small electric pulses. And these little electric pulses kind of get refined over time. It's like a bike trail that is brand new, and then the more you ride on it, the more worn down and the more trail-y and faster it becomes. So the more that your brain fires these neurons, the faster you're able to go down this trail. This is exactly what muscle memory is. If you remember the first time you picked up a bow, or the first time you tried playing your instrument and you're like, wow, what is this? But now, years down the line, it's almost second nature to you. That is all about muscle memory. You've done it so often, your brain has fired these neural pathways so frequently that at this point, it's almost second nature. So big, big brain growth for playing or listening or studying music. It also helps with language skills. Would you believe that? Not only is studying music pretty much studying another language, because you have to learn to read and write and then develop ideas in a completely different setting. We don't even use the entire alphabet. We use different symbols and we use the different keys. But studies also show that people who participate in music classes have improved speech development and learn to read more easily. Learning music helps develop the left side of the brain. And if you don't know what the left side is, that's related to language and reasoning. And then the right side is our creative and math side. Weird fact for you too, the left side of your brain controls the right side of your body, and the right side of your brain controls the left side of your body. So don't think about that for too much because your brain might explode, but it's a weird thing that kept me up at night. And it also, the left side of our brain also assists with sound recognition and teaches rhythm and rhyme. So this is how songs can help us remember information. Like if we think about the alphabet song we just talked about, if you try to say the letters in the alphabet without saying the song, guaranteed you have to think about it a little bit longer so you don't make a mistake. But you can just sing that alphabet song almost no problem, or Ba Ba Black Sheep or anything like that. It's actually called a mnemonic device when you use words and rhythms together to help you remember a specific phrase. If you think PEMDAS, for all of you math people out there, please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. If you know that one, it's just the order of operations, parentheses, exponents, multiplication, division, addition, and subtraction. That was a fun thing we learned in like fourth or eighth grade or so. And then all you science fans out there, hopefully you remember King Charles went down somewhere, something, something. That's the one that's kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. Anyway, there's tons out there that we use to help us remember. So music has a big impact on memory, but also our language skills, that left-hand side of the brain. Speaking of math, music also can help with the development of math skills. Go figure. What are you doing 98% of the time when you're playing? You are counting. By listening to music, literally children and adults can learn basic fractions, pattern recognition, and even problem solving. So just think about the way that you are dividing measures. Quarter notes, four of them into one. Half notes, there's two of them. Eighth notes, 16th notes. Then when you get to more advanced rhythms like dotted eighth notes or slurs and ties, this is just an enhanced math skill that is being further developed. People who study music also have improved spatial intelligence and the ability to form mental pictures of objects. So what is spatial intelligence? That's pretty much you can picture something or picture a problem and you're able to work through it in your head. So if someone asks you, we need to know how many apples are left after we do, if Sally has 10 apples and Dave gives her 6 apples, how many apples are left? You're able to picture each part of that problem and then work through the solution. We talked a little bit about music affecting memory, but we also have a couple of studies recently that have published to show that music, or people that are musically trained, have better working memory skills, helps them remember things even when their minds are busy with other matters, and important aspects of mental arithmetic and reading comprehension. Learning music also requires significant levels of concentration. Go figure! Training people to focus their attention for sustained periods. So attention, concentration, and memory are all positively impacted by musical study. We can't forget about increased coordination. So whether you are playing a tuba, which has 3 buttons to push, sometimes 4, or you are a clarinetist and you are wildly moving all 10 fingers at the same time, or any instrument in between, just like playing sports, when you are playing or even dancing to music, you're developing fine motor skills. And it's not just with your fingers. Making music involves more than just the voice and the hands. You're also using your ears, your eyes, you're tapping your foot, you're keeping that steady beat. Large and small muscles all working together all at the same time. You're keeping your body and your mind focused on working together. Doesn't matter the size of the instrument, doesn't matter how fast or how slowly you're going, your entire body is forced to work together. Just like playing any kind of sports, whether you're a bowler or a football star. Additionally, think about all the times that you have set aside to practice. And if you're somebody who maybe hasn't set a time to practice yet, think of all the times that you have sat through rehearsals. and all the times that you have had constructive criticism and all the times that you've worked towards this bigger goal. Music helps teach us achievement and discipline. We have those short-term goals. We have those long-term goals. That's the concert 3 months down the line. It's the plane checkup 2 days from now. We're developing routine and we're practicing self-discipline. Hey, there's that word again, practice. We're setting aside regular times, hopefully, for if not practice, then at least our rehearsals. We're developing commitment and patience. Also, remember that solo or that hard piece or that difficult measure that was just giving you a really, really hard time, but then you spent a little bit extra time and you mastered it? Remember that sense of pride and achievement that you had? That helps develop that wonderful sense of self-discipline and that power that you have to do something when you set your mind to it. Now, this is one of the more fun ones. We, of course, are always developing social skills anytime that we are in an ensemble. You make music with other people. You are learning. We're literally talking with our stand partners. We're learning how to communicate with somebody who's across the room. If you are maybe a cello player, you always got to keep your eyes on that first violinist, right? Your concertmaster or concertmistress. You want to always know what they're planning, what they're thinking, how they're playing. And same thing if you're a violinist. You always make sure you know what your bass players are doing. You are combining your skills across the orchestra. You're staying in sync with other people. You're learning to work together as a team and develop the same sense of empathy. You're playing with that same sense of emotion that piece is bringing out of you. This is kind of cool. Researchers have found that when people play together, from simple rhythms to larger symphonies, you are better able to tune into other people's emotions. Doesn't matter what age. Doesn't matter how many people or what kind of music you are playing. Just the act of doing so makes you more in tune with others. How about that? And of course, you know I have to end this podcast by talking about how it builds a joy for music for the rest of your life. It can give anybody a way to express themselves, to unleash creativity. You can be inspired, uplifted, you can relax, you can relieve stress and tension. Just think about listening to a beautiful piece of any kind of music. It doesn't have to be classical. It doesn't have to be pop. It doesn't have to be jazz. It could be anything. Singing along to a favorite musician by yourself or with friends, or dancing to a great song on the radio. Music, honestly, helps build this sense of a lasting achievement and a lasting commitment. And even for those listeners out there who find themselves to treat music as less of a daily commitment and more of a hobby, none of the things that you are building are going to go away. All the things that you have learned, your social skills, your joy of music, your achievement and discipline, your increased coordination, your memory and concentration, your math skills, your language skills, your brain growth, all of that stuff, it sticks with you. And even if you do it 1,000 hours over the course of your lifetime, or you do it 18 hours over the course of your lifetime, those are 18 hours for you that you have put into it. And it's not going anywhere. As always, thank you everybody for listening, and I really hope you learned something new. Check out our Magnum Opus website for more information on our upcoming 2021 Opus Camp. It is coming up faster than we can think. And as always, I will see you guys next time. Thanks, everybody.